It's really effective to just figure out how you can intelligently automate some of the more tedious tasks of your day. You don't have to necessarily adopt the most mind-blowing, complex AI solution. You can just look at what are the buckets of my time where I'm doing more rote work.
Hi, I'm Christine Shaw, CEO and President of Naylor Association Solutions, and I'm your host of the Association Advisor Podcast. We'll learn from successful association executives, partners, and clients on how to grow membership engagement and non-dues revenue to create a thriving, prosperous, and value-driven association. I invite you to join me in keeping informed and, most importantly, keeping your association profitable. Our goal is to leave you feeling inspired, more confident, and more knowledgeable. This is the Association Advisor Podcast. Hi, and welcome back to the Association Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. I'm your host, Christine Shaw, and today's guest is Erica Somm-Wrench, COO of Raza.io. Raza is transforming the email experience by using AI to tailor and personalize newsletters to each individual on your email list. Erica's background is in digital and content marketing, web development, SEO, and advertising. This experience has given Erica the knowledge to execute strategies that elevate associations to stand out and be seen amongst the chaos of the online marketplace. Now, as the COO of Raza, she gets to blend her love of digital marketing technology, partnership development, and customer support in order to support the incredible community of Raza clients, including associations. Today, we'll be touching on some of the fundamentals of successful email marketing, and in particular, how AI and the power of personalized content can skyrocket your success through increased engagement and non-dues revenue. Erica, a big welcome to you. It's so interesting to hear about your background, especially related to AI and technology. Will you please share with our listeners a little bit about your journey and how it led you to lean into both AI and technology?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Christine. So I started my career in Tulane's Office of Undergraduate Admission, where we were recruiting hundreds of thousands of prospective students, families, and guidance counselors down to Tulane and encouraging them to embrace the experience of going to college in New Orleans. And it was around the time when a lot of marketing tools that are household names now came on the scene, like HubSpot and MailChimp and Constant Contact. So I just developed an affinity for marketing technology that made us marketers' lives easier. And so after I graduated with my MBA from Tulane.
Congrats on that, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it was a good deal. You got to work for Tulane and get your degree at night. So it was lovely. And then when I graduated, I went on to run a team of about 40 different online marketers. And we did the whole suite of online services. So paid online ads, SEO, web development, everything. But one thing that we didn't do very much of was email. Mm-hmm. And so when the opportunity of Raza came along, it was really compelling to me because leveraging AI to disrupt the email space seemed really applicable to what I was doing because email is such a hard thing to do in a quality way and at scale. And AI lets us do that. So that's what I do now at Raza. We have a personalized newsletter solution. We work with about 300 different professional and trade associations, helping them personalize their member communications.
I love it. And you know, I don't think a lot of people realize that when it comes to content marketing, email is still king or queen, depending on your preference. So yeah, share a little bit about, from your perspective, why that is and why so much more engagement happens with emails versus other content platforms like social media, for example.
Right. Well, social media increasingly is becoming this pay-to-play world, right? So Facebook, YouTube, all of the popular online platforms are requiring money for boosted posts to get really any visibility. And so it is such a long shot whether or not your content is going to end up in someone's feed, even if they follow you, right?
Yeah.
The algorithms are getting more restrictive all the time. So that's one thing. And then if you're, you know, paid online ads on your website, that's with the hope that someone goes to your website, you know, I mean, that in terms of, you know, whatever campaigns you're running on site. But email, you just have a much better shot of getting seen and landing in someone's primary inbox. And time and again, we see the statistics that it's that dinosaur that just doesn't go away and remains a very effective channel, both with regard to recruiting new members, retaining members, reinstating lapsed members, and everything along those lines.
Excellent. Well, and you know, before we get into more of the AI and how that works with email marketing, let's talk a little bit about metrics, because we all need metrics and everyone measures their effectiveness based on metrics. And so for years, we always looked at open rates and click-through rates. In fact, we just looked at that yesterday on some of our marketing campaigns. So does that still hold true in terms of what we should be looking at to measure the success of email marketing?
Yeah, absolutely. We look at open rates, click rates, audience penetration. So for folks who might send multiple times a week, we'll look at what is the overall percentage of the audience that you're engaging on a weekly basis. Maybe they open one out of the five times, but you're still reaching them weekly. If you're sending Monday through Friday, for example, at Rasa, because so many of our clients have advertisements and partners represented in their newsletters that pay for that ad real estate within the newsletter. So we'll talk to our clients about, are you seeing the return on investment? Are you able to charge more money from your partners for those spots because the emails are getting higher open rates and higher click rates and higher audience penetration? And then we like to look at time saved because we're in the AI world.
Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and I think a lot of people don't realize the importantness. I love that you talked about the audience, because having the right audience plays a big role. Oftentimes companies like to just send emails out to everyone and anyone, but it's mm-hmm. that audience segmentation that really matters and helps. So that was really informative. Thank you for that, Erica. So let's get into AI. You cannot get through a business day without talking about listening, or any day really, on AI. So specifically, the technology that you're using for AI-powered newsletters in terms of capturing audiences' preferences and behaviors over time. Like, let's get into that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we use a recommendation algorithm to match the right people with the right content. We also use natural language processing to read, conceptualize, and understand the content that comes into our system, so that once we understand what the content's about, we can best match it with different subscribers. And the more that those subscribers interact with our emails, what are they opening? What are they clicking on? What do we already know about them? We're better to match them with the right content. And then we also have generative AI built in that we first started as a recommendation platform, in addition to using NLP to get done what we do in Rasa. But like so many SaaS tools on the market right now, we're building generative right into what we do, because you know, with the explosion of ChatGPT and all the large language models that are so easily accessible to us, we wanted to make sure that we could smooth the newsletter process in that way as well.
That's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. We talk about AI a lot. Everybody does, whether you're a student in school, a business owner, it's everywhere. But there's still a certain amount of fear around it in the learning curve, right? So everybody's aware of it, but actually using it can be a little intimidating. So what suggestions might you have about, you know, leveraging AI for improving our human experience and actually creating more value and authentic relationships with our customers?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it first starts with cultivating a culture of experimentation at your organization, making sure people know that, you know, of course, within rules and guidelines that you have established, that it's okay to experiment with these tools and try them and see what works and what doesn't. I also think that it's really effective to just figure out how you can intelligently automate some of the more tedious tasks of your day. You don't have to necessarily adopt the most mind-blowing, complex AI solution. You can just look at what are the buckets of my time where I'm doing more rote work. It feels more manual. It feels like something where my creativity isn't necessarily applied. And those are going to be the areas really ripe for AI disruption. And then from there, it's a Google search or a ChatGPT query away. Like, how can I help automate some of this piece of my workday and workload?
If we were in person, I would reach across and hug you for that first answer, the first part, because, you know, I was at a conference last year where the AI keynote said, stop overthinking it, use it for mundane, boring, repeatable tasks. And what right. I think your recommendation there is solid, because there's so many day-to-day tasks that if you lean into AI, it can just help with efficiency and productivity big time. So thank you for that. I agree. And I've been using that and it works. So, but now when it comes to associations and the bottom line, what are your thoughts on how this type of product can generate non-dues revenue through their email marketing efforts? Like, tell me a little bit about that in your experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my direct experience is, of course, with newsletters. We have many different clients that have started using Rasa as like a one-to-one replacement of their existing newsletter. That makes sense as a first step. And then they realize, wow, these newsletters get such incredible engagement and they don't take a lot of time to put together. Once you do the onboarding work and put the work in on the front end, the ongoing maintenance is much less. So we've had many clients add in additional newsletters, maybe to target, you know, a different segment of their audience that they weren't reaching already. So we've had cases where, you know, maybe they start with the member newsletter and then they say, let's use Rasa as also a top of funnel engagement tool.
Oh, I love that.
Members, yeah, or people who fell off. We work with the Institute of Food Technologists and they had their primary member newsletter through Rasa. And then they looked at their Rasa analytics and saw conceptually what are the most popular topics consistently, you know, month over month. And they actually used those topics to create some additional really hyper-targeted newsletter campaigns. They're at the Institute of Food Technologists. So snack news, plant-based food news, and there's advertisers that really want to reach those audiences. And so it's a win-win-win all around. The association gets to really engage those members in a very personalized way. Those members get news that's very applicable to them. And then the advertisers get to reach a very rich audience.
I love it. It's really good use cases that you're speaking about. So I think that's helpful. But let's help associations with how to get started in deciding which AI solution. So give us some recommendations to an association who's not touched this. Like, where do they get started?
Yeah, I always say figure out what might be high impact, but low time investment, and might not necessarily be something that blows up your whole tech stack, right? So I think a lot of times people are hesitant to get started because they think, well, if I quote unquote do AI, that's going to disrupt everything that we're already doing. But a lot of these tools optimize for one thing really well. And if they're doing something right, they also can tag into a lot of the commonly used systems like a HubSpot or Salesforce or, you know, your big AMSs. So what could you do that can kind of like reach a lot of people, be not a huge time investment, not blow up your whole tech stack, and then also, you know, to what we were talking about earlier, maybe make a piece of your day a little bit easier?
Yeah, I think, you know, the tech stack is a big issue because you're right, that gets intimidating and you're afraid by introducing something new, it's going to break everything else. So when we're looking at AI vendors, what are some basic questions we should be asking to ensure that it meets what you just said? It's like low time lift and investment, but options for productivity and potentially revenue generation.
That's a really great question. I always say this sounds very basic, but the first one you should come out the gate with is how do you use AI? Because a lot of times AI is used as a marketing term these days, especially in the past year and a half. There are a lot of really new AI companies on the scene. So if they can't very clearly and concisely answer how they use AI and what they're optimizing for, that's probably a red flag. Like, are they using your data? Are they using your members' data? Are they using their whole entire universe of data to inform what they're doing in your instance? So how they're using AI, what they're optimizing for, and then I'd say ask this of any vendor, AI or not, what do success stories look like? What are the most successful clients that you have? And do you look like those people?
That's a great piece of advice. What does success look like? And do you look like that? That's great. Are there any resources you could guide our listeners to if they want to stay on top of the latest trends in the AI space? Like, where do you go for your information, Erica?
I love listening to Paul Reitzer and Mike Kaput's Marketing Artificial Intelligence podcast, or actually, I think now they renamed it to the Artificial Intelligence podcast because they talk about all the latest and greatest in AI. They talk about the latest news, what's going to, you know, have a trickle down effect and impact your organization that's happening in, you know, Silicon Valley or other big hubs. So they do a really wonderful job of synthesizing all the information that you need to know. I just love the Tech Brew, which is Morning Brew's technology newsletter.
Oh, I love that one too. Yeah.
They do a great job of also synthesizing what is the most, I think, important news, you know, in the space. And then just the Marketing AI Institute's, all of their online resources as well are really helpful.
Fantastic. Great resources and recommendations. Thank you for that. But let's also find out, what are you reading lately and what kind of books could you recommend that our guests read? Summer's coming up, so we need some summertime reading things.
Yeah. So Competing in the Age of AI is a good one. It's a few years out of date. Eric Schmidt's former CEO of Google, his AI book, also a couple of years out, but it's really great. The folks at MAI also put out Marketing Artificial Intelligence. Again, these are a couple of years out, but they really do set a helpful stage. Also, Amit Nagarajan put out a book on AI and specifically how AI can be applied to the association world. He's always updating that book, so that can actually be downloaded on the Sidecar website, I believe, and they're actually in the midst of doing an update to it because this stuff is changing so quickly.
Great. And, you know, Erica, I'm sure some of our listeners will want to connect with you after listening to this great episode. So how can they connect with you? And please spell out the Raza URL so people know how to get in touch.
Absolutely. So if you're interested in learning more about rasa.io, you can visit rasa.io. That's rasa.io. And then /demo if you want to connect with someone on our team. If you want to connect with me, I'm very active on LinkedIn, Erica Salm Wrench on LinkedIn. That's Wrench, like the tool without the W. That's the tagline in our family.
I love it.
And feel free to reach out and say hello.
Well, I know I learned a lot from this conversation, and I'm positive our listeners will too. So I really want to thank you for your time today. We love our partnership, so let's keep doing amazing things in the AI space. Thank you so much, Erica.
Thank you. And thank you to Naylor for your partnership. We love working with you guys. And thank you so much for having me, Christine.
All right. Until next time, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Association Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. If you'd like to access more resources to serve your association needs or join our newsletter, you can visit our website at naylor.com or just click the links in the show notes of this episode. Please be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast listening app, like Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcast, so you won't miss an episode. Also, I'd love to hear from my listeners directly. Feel free to email me at christine.shaw@naylor.com. Until next time, we at Naylor are wishing your association success.